And I think that as Black women, we are taught to be self-sufficient and to be independent. Mm-hmm. You don't gotta depend on nobody. Don't depend on nobody.
Now, I just don't think about marriage. I do think about relationships. I mean, who doesn't at this age?
And every time I talk to somebody, people would be like, oh my gosh, Jasmine, how's wedding planning going? Like, are you so excited for the wedding? And I was, and like wedding planning was going great. But at the same time, I felt like nobody was really asking like questions that like really mattered in terms of like who I was, what I was going through, like the transition.
But for me, if somebody were to ask me right now, do I aspire to be married? I'd probably say, honestly, no.
I mean, you don't want kids to grow up too fast, but at the same time, if we never teach them, then you let them flail, then they're drowning.
We are the guardians of girlhood, paired with multi-generational perspectives. And when we say every girl has a story, what do we mean? The girl searching for her people, the girl craving an outlet, the girl with big dreams but no idea where to start. What about the girl whose father is in prison? The girl who hides in the bathroom at lunch? The girl desperate for a break from her home, even just for a moment? By opening up and sharing these experiences, we not only empower ourselves, but also inspire others. Unconditional sisterhood, unwavering community, and the realness. We express, we create, then we elevate. This is Love Girls, the podcast.
I am one of your co-hosts, Jasmine Babers-Gunn, and I am here with a beautiful room of lovely, lovely ladies. Kayla, do you want to kick us off with intros?
Y'all already know me, Kayla Babers. And today we have the beautiful, wonderful, eloquent Dylan Bibbs here with us. Dylan, do you want to give us just a little insight into who you are?
Yes. Hi, everyone. I am Dylan Bibbs. I am a young entrepreneur and businesswoman in the local area in Rock Island, Illinois. I am one of the co-owners of Holy Grains Coffee Shop located in Rock Island, Illinois. I'm a mom, and I am a lover of all things people, especially like my girls. So I love that this is a Love Girls podcast because I'm definitely a girl's girl.
And we have another special guest joining us today. You know her. You love her. It's your favorite podcast, Mom.
Momager.
Teresa Babers.
Yeah, and she was sincere about all that, in case you're questioning her sincerity. So always glad to come from behind the scenes and be a part of a conversation. And I just want to say another shout out for Holy Grinds Coffee Shop, because she did not come empty-handed. She brought all of our favorite drinks. And I got to tell you this. So when I was in her shop last, she kept a record of what kind of milk I like in my iced coffee. It is almond milk. And I didn't even have to say that. It came exactly the way I like it. So, yes, we are glad to have her here. And we are grateful for these drinks.
Thank you. You're so sweet.
And let's not forget, we do have our special teen guest here. She is coming up to say hello to you right now. We have Delaysia joining us for this episode.
Hello.
Amazing. Okay, so let's just jump right into it.
She didn't have a lot to say, but she's here and she's
today we are discussing wifeyhood, the dating pool, and modern marriage. We'll also explore the world of dating apps, the journey of dating to marry, and finding love as a Black woman. I'm very excited. I've been looking forward to recording this all day. We all have slightly different perspectives on dating, on marriage. Mom, we wanted you to join specifically because you and Dad have been a really amazing example of what a healthy marriage looks like. For Kayla and I recently, in December, on the 17th, got married. And so,
it's a wife.
I'm really interested in hearing what the apps are like these days. I'm interested in hearing what the dating pool is looking like these days. And Delaysia, you, as a high schooler, also have your own experiences when it comes to dating, when it comes to relationships. So, yeah, I think that this is going to be very fun. This topic for me came about because I am actually in the middle of writing my first guided journal to be put on Amazon KDP. And it was really inspired by my journey after getting engaged. And it was because I was feeling really excited. And every time I talked to somebody, people would be like, oh my gosh, Jasmine, how's wedding planning going? Like, are you so excited for the wedding? And I was, and like wedding planning was going great. But at the same time, I felt like nobody was really asking like questions that like really mattered in terms of like molding your life with somebody else's. And so it felt like a really like transitional time and like a really important time in my life. And there was a lot of wedding planning happening, but there was like a lot of like deeper thinking on my part about like what this meant for me, what it meant for my life, what it meant for my journey as a single person moving forward in a partnership. So Wifeyhood is a guided journal that anybody can use, but specifically Black women can use when they're in that transitional period. And it's all about, you know, I'm not a marriage expert and I'm not a fiance expert either, but it's just like a series of questions and a series of exercises that people can use when they're in this like moment in their life to sort of guide their thinking and really understand how they're feeling and what they're going through. So Wifeyhood is something that's going to come out in December, probably on my 1 year anniversary to commemorate the moment. So I'm really excited. Maybe we can talk about where we're all at right now in terms of our dating and relationships. Mom, you've been married for 33
years. You hear that, Rob? 33, not 32.
By the way, the shade was, we were at a wedding recently. Our producer, Michaela Hughes Shaw Perla, she got married and they did the couples dance. And of course, the couple that's married the longest wins. And my mother forgot how long she had been married. Not my father, how you would anticipate or expect, my mother. So, Robert, shout out to you for being a faithful husband.
But I also remember what it was like dating. And I remember, so me and my husband, we met on a dating app, which is...
Which dating app?
Hinge.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
We met on Hinge. It was the height of the pandemic. So 2020, there was nothing open, so it was really hard to, like, go on, like, actual dates because, like, where are we supposed to go? Like, restaurants, movie theaters, everything was closed. We isolated ourselves for 2 weeks before we were able to meet. So we got to know each other in those 2 weeks because we talked on the phone all the time, but we just didn't want each other's germs. So, yeah, we met on Hinge, and it worked out for us, and I feel like everybody has, like, a dating app story, whether it's good or bad. So I'm interested in hearing, what is the dating climate like today?
I don't know how interested. Don't be interested. Be happy in marriage. It's below, you know, Dante's Inferno. And I think it's just because, unfortunately, so many people with social media are not intentional anymore. And it's more so just kind of to pass time by. No one's actually trying to get to know anyone. No one's actually trying to put themselves forward and show about what they like. It's just a lot of it's superficial, but also a lot of it's just looking for sex. And that also goes to show, again, not just because of social media, but I also think it has to just do with the culture that we're living in, a time of the music, the shows we're watching, just like a lot of people are very focused on the physical. And I think a lot of that is indicative of people not doing a lot of self-reflection and self-worth. Their own self-work. And so it comes out. And I'm not even going to just put this on the men, because as a woman, I'm going to tell you, like, yes, it is. But I've also seen from women, too, because you have to carry yourself a certain way. And you have to be intentional if you're looking for something. And I think that a lot of people, both men and women, they aren't doing that.
Uh-oh. Her husband is calling.
That's crazy.
Okay, we're going to turn him off. Sorry.
The husband of 33 years was calling.
I think social media provides it's great because you connect with people. You can connect with people from all over the country, all over the world. You have access to different cultures, different type of people that might not be here in the Quad Cities or wherever you are. However, I feel like social media breeds a false sense of intimacy. Mm-hmm. Having immediate access to people all the time and people expecting you to return a text as soon as they get it, or if you don't respond in 24, 48 hours, mm-hmm. sir, I mean, I'm busy. I'm booked and busy, right? Making this money and doing these things and even taking time for myself. So you are not allocated to my time. You are not owed that. And that goes both ways. I see TikToks where women are like, if a man doesn't respond to me in an hour, blocked. Girl, get a hobby. Seriously.
Expeditiously.
Seriously. You should never be sitting around waiting for a text from a man or a woman. I think that plays a huge part in what's acceptable and what's not. And that hinders a lot of people from getting to know somebody and growing something.
I have so many questions about people's perspective on social media, because I think that, as you mentioned, Kayla, on TikTok and like on social media, I think that people have different expectations of social media just in general, whether to post your relationship on social media or not, whether to, you know, just pop up married one day like Issa Wright, you know, like
that's my girl.
Love her.
Like, I think that people have different expectations of if it's important or necessary to share your relationship online, if, you know, you're hiding your relationship from the world if you're not posting. So I want to get Delasia's perspective on social media, specifically being in high school and how it pertains to dating.
Yes, so in high school, it's kind of like, these relationships are not real. I'm sorry. That's all I gotta say. Like,
let the people know. Like, let them know.
It's really like a flex to try to be talking to more than one girl. Like, I'm snapping this and that and that.
Having
like,
a roster? Isn't that
yes,
what the young kids
say? Having
like,
a roster. Like, people care more about having a roster in situationships than trying to actually, like, okay, two guys try to talk to me this summer. Boys, they will literally, like, just come to you, like, trying to have a relationship without even, like, knowing you. Like, mm-hmm. you don't even know my middle name, mm-hmm. my favorite color. Like, they jump straight in, like, flirting. Like, I have AP courses to worry about.
Okay.
And it's just, the love is not there. Like, there were a few lasting relationships. Like, people have graduated. They're still together. It's not for the long run. And it's more of a,
for the moment, it's lasting for, in longevity.
Yes.
If you could have an ideal dating situation, what would that look like for you?
If y'all could
would
see
they,
her
would
face.
They call you up on the phone? Would they give you a note?
She is
would they
shook.
Send you a complimentary text? Would they walk up to you in the hall and say something to you? What would what would feel better?
Like something that just happens naturally, like through just common spaces, I feel like having classes. I don't know. I'd rather meet authentically, yeah. if that makes
sense. In the wild. Yeah. But yeah. I will preface by saying I don't think dating apps are created for your age demographic. Because
yeah,
they're for 18
yeah.
and older.
Yeah,
so if you're under 18, get your behind off the dating apps.
Please. Because there's creeps out there.
Please.
But someone like very genuine, don't try to like change yourself or be like over performative to like have someone like you or accept you. So like when I find a person that I just feel like naturally, like I can be my true self and they will still love me for me, I feel like that's like really when I'll know.
My sister, they've known me my whole life.
It's true.
And they know I'm a very private person. when it comes to things like that. But I will say, I think there is some positivity in social media when it comes to dating. For instance, there is a local Facebook group, and I'm not going to say the name because this is a group locally for women who are dating or in relationships. And in this group, if you've had negative interactions with a man, violent interactions with a man, it's all there. The information is there. So I think women banding together in that capacity where social media and dating is so rampant, because people can project one persona to you and be a whole different person. They say it takes, what, 3 to 4 years to really get to know somebody. And with social media, I feel like we think we know somebody and we can get into situations that we wouldn't want to be in. And so I think that's good for social media. However, I do think women especially place too much emphasis on being claimed. I'm doing air quotes. Y'all can't see me. Claimed on social media, being posted. I think there's a difference between privacy and hiding somebody or being ashamed of your partner. So I think it's just a balance. And as a millennial, I started, social media was just ramping up when I was in high school. And so even now, it's still really hard to navigate because you're seeing all these different perspectives and you have to figure out what works and what's right for you without feeling shamed because the majority thinks a certain way.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And to your point just about how social media, I think it's the parasocial relationships that like social media creates, that I see you posting all the time. I see that you're sharing this. And so we like the same thing. So clearly like we know each other. And I think that when it comes to dating, especially with men, especially on these social media apps, when they slide in your DMs, it's that the sometimes the way that they come at you, the things that they say, it's vulgar and it's bold. And I'll look at messages in my DMs like, you don't know me from a can of paint. Like, and you talking to me like we've been dating for like 3 years. Like, hold on, back up.
Pump the brakes.
And I think that a large part of that is because they see your pictures, they see your posts, and it's, okay, well, I've said that you're pretty, I've said you're gorgeous, I've said I'd love to take you out, so that's got to be good enough. And it's, no, like, let's have a conversation outside of social media. Let's have an actual conversation. And to the point of, like, posting, I agree with, there's a difference between privacy and hiding. I'm a date myself, but I mean, I came up when we had the Man Candy Monday or Man Crush Monday, Women Crush Wednesday, where it was everybody knew who you were dating. Everybody knew that was your person. And nowadays, I don't know where those posts went. Nobody does. Nobody really does that anymore. No one's showing people off. And I think that I do think it's good, and there's nothing wrong if you want to show your partner, show your spouse. But I do agree that a lot of people, it's a superficial, oh, look at me. Look, someone has claimed me. I'm in this. And I really think the biggest part for women is it comes from this, like, this social status. And it comes from not wanting to feel like I'm watching all my peers who are married, who are engaged, who have kids, and I don't. So if I'm dating somebody, and even though it's like, I don't think that they should rush to try to have somebody post you, because there's that joke of, I'm gonna post a picture and y'all tell me if you know this man. You tell me if you're dating him, because as soon as you post him, hey girl, I just want you to know, I dated. And it's like, okay, so why don't we get to know the people that we're really dating and give it some, get the relationship to have some stock, some breadth in it before we actually put it out there for the world to see? But do it because you want to. Do it because you want to show your spouse off, because you love them and you're proud of them and you respect them and, you know, you respect your relationship and your partnership. Show it off because of that, not because so-and-so is going to see it and, or the last ex who broke your heart is going to see it and they're going to be like, oh, look what I missed. Like, don't do it for that. Like, do it because you are proud of it. So those are my thoughts.
Is marriage something you aspire to? So we know, obviously, Jasmine, the answer is yes for you. And then we'll go around the room. And, you know, for she is not on mic, but we will share her answer. Or give her a mic, our lovely sound engineer and production assistant, Legend Donaldson.
Ooh, Legend! Ooh,
yeah. Legend, how old are you? 23. Okay, 23. How our teens are 16 and 17. You know, we got some zillennial millennial.
I'm proud. I'm 31.
I'm 30. I'm proud of it. And we just joined Club 30.
I am a zillennial. And Kayla, are you a proper millennial?
I'm on the cusp. So I'm technically a millennial.
Okay.
It's not a yes or no question. I think the culture of dating to marry has become toxic, especially within the church. And we're finding that women are staying in unhealthy relationships that don't serve them for the simple fact to have the status of wife. Now, Jazz, I aspire to have a man like Ryan because when I tell y'all, he does his big one every time. But that is not the case for everybody. And I think a lot of women are willing to settle to say they're married because there's this time clock.
I agree. I do desire to be married. I have a great foundation, and my parents have been married for 28 years. So their marriage, just witnessing it growing up, has always made me desire to be married. But the things that I have been through in this last decade of my life have shown me that, just to your point, it is absolutely not worth it to put up with unhealthy relationships, abuse, toxicity, just for the sake to say I'm somebody's wife. Cause I could just be good and bad all by myself. Like, and I do want a partner. I can say that, but I don't want a partner at the expense of my emotional, my mental, and my spiritual health. I want to be with someone that also has the same desire to be married, the same intentions to be a partner, and who wants to be a husband. And if that's not what I get, because I want what God wants for me, and that's above all, honestly, that's the biggest thing too, is I want his plan, not my plan. So whatever he wants for me, that's what I want. And if that's not right now, that's okay.
Down. Some people think that dating apps are like Amazon Prime, like next day delivery type of relationship. Yeah. And so
I love that. Yeah. Say that again.
Some people think that dating apps are like Amazon Prime, next day relationships.
I'm putting that on a t-shirt.
Right.
Because, I mean, I am older Gen Z. So I was born in 01. So I'm not in high school. I'm 23, like I said. So, yeah. 01, 20 some years ago. It doesn't even feel like it. But since I'm an older Gen Z, my mindset is a little different right now. I have been chronically single my entire life. So I have done dating apps. I've never been on a date. I've never been, you know, out with a guy or anything like that. But my parents got married kind of young. And so I think they've never really given me the, you know, oh, do the same thing we did type of situation. They've always kind of been like, do your own path type of situation. But for me, if somebody were to ask me right now, do I aspire to be married? I'd probably say, honestly, no. You know, I just have so much on my plate right now. And being in my 20s and people around me getting married, having kids and stuff like that, I don't feel the peer pressure of it. I just support it from a distance. Because, I mean, I'm not a hater. Like, get married. I'm going to be at that wedding. I'm going to be at that reception.
Right, on the dance floor.
But me personally, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while for sure.
And that's okay.
That's okay. Your priorities are your priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. So, not right now, but someday.
I mean, like, if I were to date someone, I would really want to be intentional with it. Like, I'm not just dating to date. Like, you really have to be, we both have to feel the same about each other.
Hi. I haven't introduced myself, but my name is Dariana. Me personally, I have been in households where there was physical violence, disrespect. I'm now currently in a healthy home, thank God, praise the Lord. This home, I'm in a foster home, but this home has showed me, they don't argue in front of me, thank God. I don't think myself as being in a marriage because all the stuff that I've seen, but when I grow up, I might. I'm 16, about to be turning 17 in October. So right now, I just don't think about marriage. I do think about relationships. I mean, who doesn't at this age? But still, these relationships aren't it. Like Delasia said, they're not real. Right now, I don't think about getting married. I just think about having a cordial relationship with a dude. And if it doesn't work out, oh well, move on.
So I want to take a step back because do y'all remember your little friend culture? How And seriously, I've been thinking about this because Black women struggle to date.
For real.
It's hard. So I'm thinking, and of course this could happen in white households or Latino households, but I'm again talking about the Black experience because I'm Black. I was on TikTok like I always am, and this Black mother was giving a puberty party to her daughter, and she was talking about the ins and outs of dating. What are red flags? What are green flags? Sex, all these things that happen. And, you know, you might have the birds and the bees talk. You might talk about don't get pregnant in Black households. But do we ever talk about when you're dating, this is how you should be treated? So when we come to adulthood like Legend, we feel like late bloomers because I felt the same way. And it's not that we're late bloomers. We were just shielded from that. And I'm sure that comes from a place of love because, again, we have a lot of trauma within the Black community. And your parents don't want you to end up pregnant, don't want you to end up a statistic, all these things. And especially my parents, they grew up when HIV and AIDS was a huge thing. So fear-mongering, I don't think it was intentional, but we weren't having healthy, open, honest conversations about relationships and sex because at that time, it was still taboo.
Think that as Black women, we are taught to be self-sufficient and to be independent. You don't gotta depend on nobody. Don't depend on nobody. And I think that there's a way, and I feel like my mom did a really great job at that, of teaching me how to be independent, but she showcased what a wife was. So I had a great example of what that was and what that looked like and what marriage and healthy marriage. And I had a dad that took me on daddy-daughter dates. I had a dad that, you know, would be like, listen, he showed me and spoiled me with all these things, but he showed me and told me his favorite three words were drop the bum when I was coming up. So if there was something that someone did, if there was a red flag, what I said, drop the bum. That's what he would tell me. And I learned as I got older, it didn't really just apply to men. It applied to anybody because anybody can be a bum. And it doesn't mean about finances. That's not what he was talking about. He was just saying for someone that mistreats you. But I think that the difference in our communities has a lot to do with the trauma that's embedded just from generational. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's a big reason why, because I think about my grandma when she met my son's dad and she was like, oh, your little friend. And I'm like, granny, we've been together for like 4 or 5 years.
You have a whole child.
You talk about some of my little friend. Like, and it's like, I think it's important. I mean, you don't want kids to grow up too fast, but at the same time, if we never teach them, then you let them flail, then they're drowning and then they feel like late bloomers. And no, that's not fair to them. So I think that dichotomy is important. I always say that, like, it's really important. You can do both. We can teach them independence, but you can also teach them that there's nothing wrong to desire that and to respect that. Because how do they know how to respect a spouse if they've never seen it, if they've never been taught, if they've never been shown?
Thoughts, sister?
You said a word. I feel like I love drop the bum. To your point, I feel like, and my mom's here, so, you know, she's able to defend herself. Not that there's anything to defend, but from my experience growing up, I did feel like my parents did have, like, rules about dating. And we weren't necessarily able to date, quote-unquote, until we were about, like, 16. And even then, like, my parents had to meet their parents and, like, you know, you had to have a conversation about it, this and that. But even still, I did feel like I had to obtain a certain level of secrecy when it came to if I, like, liked somebody. And, like, I'd never felt like it was appropriate or comfortable talking to my parents about relationships when I was a teenager. And I honestly feel like it wasn't until I hit maybe, like, my early to mid-20s that I even did start talking to my mom specifically about relationships. And it actually wasn't even, I think the first time I might have mentioned something to my mom about relationships, just like of my own free will, was when I went on my first date with Ryan. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going on a date with this guy and I don't know, we'll see how it goes. And it was actually talking about Ryan. So yeah, I think that what you were talking about, pertaining to like Black households and like, you know, your little friend culture, I think that I do wish that we had a little bit more of an open, honest conversation in our household about dating and about like what that was supposed to look like. Because, you know, I was in like a relationship in high school. And I think that if I was able to talk to my mom more or talk to my dad more about like my experiences, I probably wouldn't have stayed in that relationship for as long as I did. So yeah, I think that that's a really interesting, my mom is reaching for the mic, so she has something to say, but yeah, an interesting topic, way to look at things.
You know, you want the best for your children, especially your daughters. They're more vulnerable in the world. At least that was our opinion. And you know, I'm full transparency. We weren't that interested in your little friends, right? Because they wasn't.
But now they're real interested in our little friends. Okay. At 31.
They weren't gonna be around in 5 years. So we didn't.
But you could have also had that conversation.
Yeah, why didn't you tell us?
Look.
Like, what?
Okay. You know, this little boy was not going to be around later. And I think that if I'm accurate, I just remember Jasmine being a little sad about this. Sometimes we understood that things were going on, but we stayed out of it because, you know, boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. But at this one particular moment, she was a little sad about this. And I remember we sat down with her in the kitchen and we told her this. Look, first of all, if you're supposed to be with somebody, it's going to work out, right? And if you're not, it's not. And the last thing I said to her was, nobody ends up with the boy they liked at 16 or 17 years old. And, of course, everybody got one example, you know. But statistically speaking.
If y'all could
speaking,
see her face.
Statistically
she's
speaking.
So disgusted.
There was actually a social media thing that said, when I look across the room, I don't want to see this list of people that I dated. I want to see the boy that I was with at 16 as my
gross.
Husband. What?
Ew.
Child.
Gross.
So anyway, that's all I want to say is, one, I think that you're accurate about saying it is protective. And two, like the younger teen said, I just didn't, right or wrong, I just didn't think those relationships were that important.
I hear you. What I was trying to get at is that some of the knowledge that you're talking about right now, you know, you're saying like boundaries, things like that. What I'm saying is that I wish that the environment felt a little bit more open to having conversations like that, because I feel like a lot of people take what their parents say to heart. And, you know, yeah. Sometimes I take your advice, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But to hear it and to, like, have that in the back of my head.
It's conflicting.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like it would have made me think twice about things a little bit more and saved me some time, you know?
And I think for both of y'all, like, what I'm hearing, because I feel like I've had this conversation with my mom, something that I'm learning that I've adapted as a mindset is that clear is kind. So I feel like, to your point, is, like, why couldn't you say something? And to your point, it's about protection. But what I think they were looking for was clarity, because you're looking to protect them. But why? How? What are you protecting me from? Mm. I appreciate that you're protecting me, but shouldn't I know what it is so that you're not always going to be around? So I can see this, so I can be self-sufficient. So if you look at the mindset of clear is kind, because when you are clear with people, when you have that clarity, that's an extension of kindness to them, being very direct, but also to be just to offer that clarity. So I feel like that might be the bridge of where you're looking for, is like just seeking that clarity of the why.
I love that. Yeah. That's exactly what it
so
is.
So we're dropping the bum and clear is kind.
Clear is kind.
Clear is kind.
Dylan is going to trademark those. So
nobody take that.
I know we're on the last time, but I feel like there's one last thing
part
we should talk
two.
About.
Part two.
Can we just part do part two right now? All right, they called for a part two, so we're giving you a part two. Tune in to the next episode of Love Girls, the podcast. And if you want to learn more about Love Girls magazine,
all you have to do is go to lovegirlsmagazine.com. You can also find us on all the socials, and we would love to connect with you. Have a great day.